Is There Really a Human Race? Written by Jamie Lee Curtis and illustrated by Laura Cornell. Is there really a human race? Is it going on now all over the place? When did it start? Who said ready, set, go? Did it start on my birthday? I really must know. Do I warm up and stretch? Do I practice and train? Do I get my own coach? Do I get my own lane? Do I race in the snow? Do I race in a twister? Am I racing my friends? Am I racing my sister? If the race is a relay, is Dad on my team? And his dad, you know what I mean. Is the race like a loop or an obstacle course? Am I a jockey or am I a horse? Is there pushing and shoving to get to the lead? If the race is unfair, will I succeed? Do some of us win? Do some of us lose? Is winning or losing something I choose? Why am I racing? What am I winning? Does all of my running keep the world spinning? If I get off track when I take a wrong turn, do I make my way back from mistakes? Do I learn? Is it a sprint, a dash to the end? Am I aware of the time that I spend? And why do I do it, this zillion-yard dash? If we don't help each other, we're all going to crash. And then the mommy speaks. Sometimes it's better not to go fast. There are beautiful sights to be seen when you're last. Shouldn't it be that you just try your best, and that's more important than beating the rest? Shouldn't it be looking back at the end that you judge your own race by the help that you lend? So, take what's inside you and make big, bold choices. And for those who can't speak for themselves, use bold voices and make friends and love well and bring art to this place. And make the world better for the whole human race. Kia man.
Good morning and welcome to Family Matters on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph. On Family Matters, we're here to talk about what matters to family. We're here to inspire and inform. We talk about traditional and non-traditional families. And this month we've been talking about families who are divorcing. So we've been talking about parents who choose collaborative divorce. Last week we talked about co-parenting through divorce. And this week we have Lynn Brunette on the line to talk about step families and blended families. If you have any questions about this show, you can visit the CFRU website at www.cfru.ca, or you can visit our blog at www.cfrufamily.com. WordPress.com. And you can certainly email me at any time at family@compassionatesolutions.ca. I'm your host, Wendy McDonald. So I've got Lynn on the line, and Lynn, I'm just going to bring you up on the line here. Good morning, Lynn.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Lynn, I'm just going to introduce you here. And I've got Lynn Brunette. She's a certified life coach, Master Family Dynamics Coach, Master Spirit Life Coach, and a member of the Certified Coaches Alliance as well as Toastmasters International. She's a strong advocate for families. She hosts a family focus show on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday. and having always been fascinated with human behavior, potential, and transformation, becoming a life coach was Lynn's calling. Because of her own personal transformation through family, career, and health challenges, helping others to do the same has become her passion. You can find Lynn on the web. She's at horizonslifecoaching.com, which is HorizonsLifeCoaching. So horizonslifecoaching.com. Or you can also reach her in BC. Now, I think that's dedication, Lynn. What time is it there at your end?
It's 5:05 a.m.
Oh, thank you so much for being on the line with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thank you. So today we're going to talk about step families and blended families, and what they are and some of the specific challenges that happen in step families. And I just wanted to start with the definition. A blended family is when two adults marry and one or both adults bring children from a previous relationship into the new marriage in the family. And this is sometimes called a step family, when two families become one family. And it's quite common. I was just doing a bit of research this week, and nearly half of North Americans are involved in some step relationship. And the other thing that I noticed, Lynn, is that over 60% of blended families end in divorce. Lynn, do you want to talk a little? Let's talk a little bit about what contributes to this high divorce rate and some of the challenges with step families.
Sure, and thank you. And please don't mind if I happen to get a little scratchy voice, because it is early.
It is early.
Well, what contributes to it is, I think, unrealistic expectations. Actually, I think we all have this honeymoon period in a relationship, and we're bringing different things into it. It's not like a traditional family that, you know, you meet and, you know, you have that honeymoon phase and everything's great. It's like that as well when a step family begins, but you are bringing a lot more to the table, and I think you have unrealistic expectations because it's going to go the way it was. And when you started out the first time, you didn't have exes, you didn't have children, and you know, it was just the two of you building something together, and there's a whole lot more to deal with the second time around.
Okay, so yeah, if I like this analogy of a building. Like when you're building a house from the ground up, that's kind of like a first relationship, a first marriage. Is that the idea?
Exactly.
Everything's new, everything's starting fresh. But with a step family, the building, you've already got some buildings already in place. Is that the idea?
That's right. And it's a little bit like you're starting out with a war-torn. You know, when you start a traditional family, it starts out of love. And a step family starts because of a divorce. So you're bringing other things with you, and your honeymoon period in a step family is harder because you're starting out with children.
Okay, so you've because you are starting off, and some of those children could be a lot older too. So you've got some developmental challenges to face at that time.
Exactly. So you have these, you don't expect that there's going to be. You're going to have different styles that you're bringing with you. You're bringing history with you. People don't realize that, you know, there's financial issues to bring into the mix. They don't expect that all of a sudden, you know, they never had behavioral issues with their children. Now all of a sudden they're dealing with behavioral issues. And I think a big thing as well is people, well, I love that new person, so my kids will too.
Ah, okay, so that's one of the expectations, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that just because I love them, they should love them too. So, okay, so are there any other expectations? There's the one, that one, you know?
And I think there's also, you know, and personally I sort of went through this, or my son went through this.
Mm-hmm.
My ex's new partner has a daughter, and she's a couple years older than my son. And, you know, my ex used to tell me, oh, yeah, they get along great, you know, my son and her daughter, and they get along great. But, yeah, they may get along great, but, you know, kids will get along with almost anybody, and you put them in a play situation, and they have things to do. They're not living together yet.
Right.
So, yeah, the kids play together fine. Oh, this is going to be great. We love each other. Our kids get along. And then we move in together, and whammo.
Right.
Everything's different. You know, the child suddenly has to share that parent with this new kid. And maybe this new kid gets to live with my dad full time, and I only get to see my dad on the weekends, every second weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing that I think is unrealistic.
Okay.
Makes
so
it difficult.
Right. So if you introduce the kids and they play really well and they have similar interests, actually living together is going to pose problems. And I can see that. I mean, my gosh, you're going to be in each other's space. You're going to see each other at the good times and the bad times.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and it's maybe not something that you want to do. So, okay, so that's great. Now, as I understand it, you help parents clarify any delusions about their new family life. So what should parents know about that then? Like, are there any expectations? Are there anything that you should strive for or hope for?
Well, I think that, you know, it's such a difficult time for children, and I think mm-hmm. that, you know, if you and your spouse divorce and you have children, expect that there's going to be issues.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not going to be smooth sailing. And don't tell your kids or expect your kids to get over it, and you're with this new person, and you love them, and you love each other, and you're going to be together. It's going to be tough. And, you know, you always hear, well, kids are resilient. Well, what other choice do they have, really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't have any other choice but to deal with it. And they do the best they can with their limited vocabulary. And then you see that come out in behavioral things. So, you know, there's expected that there's going to be problems for, you know, depending on the way the divorce happened and the way you and your new partner got together, you know, expect that there's going to be some problems. And then expect that there's going to be some problems between the two of you, because even though, say, you've been seeing each other for a while or dating or in the, you know, and then you move in together, then there's going to be some problems between you and your new partner, because all of a sudden you're put into another different situation.
Mm-hmm.
So you have different parenting styles, say, if you're both bringing children to the relationship or just one of you. We all have an expectation, I think, if you don't have children, the way children should be raised, disciplined, taught new things. Now, with me and my new partner, Greg, he never had children. But he definitely had some ideas of his own. So you're going to have different styles. So expect that's going to be an issue as well. There's a lot of things that you need to discuss. So don't expect that your new relationship is going to begin or flourish the way your first marriage did, because you have so much more to deal with. But, you know, be open, I think, is really important to these things. Just expect the unexpected, that there are going to be challenges, and it'll make it a lot easier to move ahead, to move forward, expecting that this honeymoon phase is going to go on, and everybody's going to get along because we love each other.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's going to be great.
Right.
That's not the way it works, and it doesn't mean that it can't work. You can have a wonderful step-family experience, but just expect there will be some issues that come up. They may be very minor. They may be something that, you know, happens that day, and if you can be open about it and you can talk and you've discussed things with your new partner ahead of time, a step-family situation can be wonderful. I was raised in one. I didn't have a step-parent. It was my siblings. So my mother had been married previously, had a my brother and my sister, and then my dad became their step-parent.
Okay.
So I got to see how that worked, how my dad treated them as being stepchildren, and that word was actually never, ever used in our family. They were, I mean, I knew they had a different father, but it didn't feel that way. We were all one. So you can have a wonderful step-family relationship, but don't be blind in thinking that there are not going to be issues, because even in that situation, there was the odd little thing.
Right. This is so wonderful. I just, for those folks who are just tuning in, I have Lynn Brunette on the line this morning. She is helping me talk about step families and blended families. This is part of a larger series that I'm doing this month on family matters, about divorce. We've talked about collaborative divorce, and we talked about co-parenting last week. And next week, we're actually going to have someone from, we're going to have Todd Perot from Community Justice Initiatives talking about family conferencing, which is something a little different. But today we're talking about step families with Lynn Brunette. I'm your host, Wendy McDonald, and you're listening to Family Matters on CFRU 93.3 FM. And we were just talking a little bit about how just some of the realistic expectations we should have when we're moving into a step family, just expecting challenges and being willing to engage in problem solving, and really, well, and also just knowing yourself a little bit. If you cannot engage in problem solving, maybe kind of stepping back. I'm also hearing what Lynn, as we're talking, that there's a real need to spend some time in discussing, planning, connecting, doing some of that problem solving with your new partner, which you probably wouldn't necessarily, you probably would do a little bit with a new relationship, a brand new relationship with no children. But in this case, it sounds like you need a little bit more time and space to devote to that as a couple. Yeah.
You do. Well, when you start out, you know, the first time, you don't, although you should, you know, you chat a little bit. Oh, yes, I want kids. Oh, do you want kids? Oh, yes, how many do you want?
Yeah.
You know, you sort of get an idea of you know, each other's spending habits, and you learn about their family and things like that. But when you're going the second time around, you know, you really need to understand the financial. How does that work? You know, if you're getting involved with, as a woman, if you're getting involved with another man, he has an ex, he's paying support, what are the ramifications? Does he have a job that has extended health benefits? Is he required to keep, you know, his ex-wife and their children on for a certain period of time? So are you going to be without? There's so many things to cover like that. You need to discuss how your parenting styles are. You need to discuss situations. If this were to happen, what is your style that way? How do you discipline? Does your new partner believe in spanking and you don't?
Mm-hmm.
Who has the final say? You know, is it the biological parents who have the final say, and the step parent backs you up? You know, all these things like that you really need to discuss, because as hard as it is for children to go through a new step family relationship, you know, this is hard. You have to look at it from their point of view. They go through a divorce, and then when you remarry, if you remarry, because not all step families remarry,
mm-hmm.
then they have to go through that again. And then the remarrying brings the message they're really not going to get back together. Because mm-hmm. kids will always hope that their parents get back together. Then that remarrying sort of takes their hope away. So that is another difficult stage for them to go through. So you really have to discuss all these things ahead of time. Your belief system, how you've been raised. Do you believe in chores? Does your new partner, did they not do chores? And allowances, and, you know, how are allowances doled out? There's so many things you need to discuss beforehand. You really need to be prepared in how you're going to talk about things. So, and the fact that how is your new partner going to bond with your child? Mm. You know, you can't force them. Just because you love that new person doesn't mean that your children are going to love that new person. Don't force the relationship. Don't force them to go give your new partner a hug and a kiss and say hi when they come and visit, if you happen to be the parent that, you know, gets to see your children every weekend or every second weekend. Don't force the issue. You know, give everybody space and discuss how you're going to go about doing that. So it's very important that you talk ahead of time. Very important.
Mm, thank you so much, Lynn. That is a really excellent point about really connecting and being sure you're on the same side. Navigating former partners and the families, the grandparents or any other aunts and uncles that might be particularly significant in a child's life, how do you go about navigating that? Especially if you don't enjoy what they're doing. Sometimes that happens, doesn't it?
If you don't enjoy what your ex is doing?
Or it could be your ex-partner. It could be your new partner's former partner or someone else in the extended family.
Well,
that's a tough
one. I
was
very lucky. I remember when my ex and I split, and I thought, okay, after I got over that, and I thought, okay, this is what I want for the next time around. I thought to myself, I wrote it down, mm-hmm. I want to meet somebody that doesn't have children. I didn't have a problem with being a stepmother, but I can imagine how difficult it is, and it's mostly women that have stepchildren that they get to see every weekend or every second weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That would be very difficult to build any kind of bond if you don't see them that often. So I wanted somebody who, you know, didn't have children from a previous relationship. I didn't care if they had been married, but if they didn't have children, I would prefer that they had children that they had full custody of. Because then I knew I would have that, you know, that child would be around more and I, you know, better chance of building a really good relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, so I don't have to deal with like an ex of Greg's or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So that does make it easier, and he doesn't have any children, so that makes it easier. But you really need to be open, and it makes it hard. If you've had a difficult divorce, that, you know, that can really make it difficult, but you always need to keep in mind what is best for your children. But there are many situations or people that can help you, but it's very important to be open. For instance, my ex-in-laws, that I call them my outlaws, and it's kind of a funny thing. And so I just, you know, the outlaws love Greg, my new partner. Love Greg. Greg loves them. And so it sort of maintains some kind of normalcy in Logan's life, and that helps with your children. If they can see that you can talk with your ex-in-laws, because, I mean, they are still your child's grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's difficult. You can't control other people. You can only do the best that you can do. And, you know, people will react a certain way in how you react. And if you have to grit your teeth and, you know, be nice, if it was a really difficult situation, you need to think of what's best for your children. And just because the two of you don't want to be together anymore doesn't mean your child feels the same way. You really need to look at it from their point of view. So if you can maintain a relationship with your ex-in-laws and you can have them over for tea once in a while and your children can see you interact with them, even though all this turmoil is going on about them, is so healthy for them. It helps the transition into a different life a little bit easier for them. So, you know, we have quite an open relationship. We have all socialized together personally, and we've had some bumps in the road, and the last year has been a little bit difficult, but you always have to remember that you do what's best for your child. You really don't want to be negative in that aspect. And if there's something that's happening that you don't like, You know, discuss it with them, but be careful in how you discuss it. Don't approach, you know, with your finger pointing, and, you know, that saying, when you point a finger, there's three pointing back at you. You have to really be careful in how you approach that, and just try and always, you know, I'd like to discuss something with you, and what your child has said, not your opinion of what they're doing or anything like that. You know, but you need to keep the communication lines open and careful never to be negative when you're speaking about that other parent. If there is an issue coming up and a child tells you something and it's maybe in a negative manner, children get mad at their parents. Don't be negative. Don't trash that other parent. But watch how you say things, because it may not be negative, but it may not be positive. So you really need to be careful, but you really need to be open, and you just really need to always think of your child first. As hard as that may be, we are the adults, and let's think about what's best for our kids, because their home has been ripped out from under them. We made the choice, they didn't. So we really need to be cognizant of the fact that we have to talk. We have to talk. Communication is key in anything, and more so in this situation, for sure. So it's definitely important.
And this is something that has come up in the other shows as well. So I'm really glad that you're restating this idea of openness and being willing to be changed by what people say and do a little bit, just to be open to whatever their perspective is. And I remember we were talking a little bit about this in the last couple of shows. You had mentioned a really good point, that if it's a really sour divorce, that this particular stage can be particularly challenging, because then you're going to be bringing forward any grief that you might have about the divorce into this next relationship. So kind of checking that out. And I remember, you know, being a coach, I'm sure that's something that you work with quite a bit, just helping people to tease apart all the stuff that might be going on for them. What part is the grief? What part is the new relationship, the new working relationship with the ex-partner? Those kinds of things are all going to come up for sure. Yeah. And you bring up a really good point, too. The kids are grieving. You know, because you're right. They've gone through a divorce, and it might have been a couple of years ago that the divorce happened, and now that's kind of settled a little bit. They've gotten used to the new life, and now you're bringing in a new partner and possibly new siblings. And so they're going to need some time to adjust. And it may be something that you and your new partner have discussed quite a bit. You may have been in discussion for a year or longer, whatever, but this is a new situation for the kids. So really being open and really, really, really opening up your heart and your mind to really get how it is for the other people. And it's a challenging situation, isn't it?
It is tough. You have others that you need to think about. And if you can kind of keep that close, it just makes it so much easier for the kids. And it demonstrates to your children, it's wonderful modeling behavior. And sometimes, you know, it's tough, but it shows your children that you are open, that they can trust you to come with heart to you with hard things, to really, in anything, not just this, but any problems that they may have, because they can see that, you know, you have a good head on your shoulders, basically, that, you know, this is a rough time, and your children will see you having a rough time with it. And it is really super important. If they can see, you know, look at, you know, mom and dad can talk, and look, you know, I can have Nana and Papa here and Grandma here and, you know, the new sibling and all that stuff. So it really makes it a lot easier. And I think it is important if you can keep some relationship open with your ex-in-laws. Now, we always go to my outlaws at Christmas time, and we bring them a little gift from Logan and things like that. And, you know, so for Logan, it's a really good situation for him. There is no, but, you know, it did take a little bit of time. It took a little bit of time because people have an idea of what it should be like when you go through a divorce. You should not talk to the other person, and, you know, and people thought we were crazy because we kind of all had a getting to know you barbecue way, way back in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
And I brought that up. It wasn't my ex at the time, but I had brought that up. You know, well, I'd like to meet this person who's going to have a part of my son's life. And, mm-hmm. you know, why don't we all have a barbecue? And he's like, yeah, okay, which is really good because he was kind of like open-minded like I am that way.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really good. But our new partners were kind of weirded out because, you know, and friends were like, that's just weird. Well, it may be weird, but it's what works for me and it's what makes me comfortable. So, you know, the kids, her child was there and our child was there and we sat and chatted and I actually invited a friend who knew both of me and my ex just so the focus wasn't so much on the four of us sitting there. We had someone else who would add something different. And, mm-hmm. you know, we sat and had a barbecue in the summer. It was great and the kids played and everything was good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've had some issues since then. I mean, you can't control that many different people.
No.
And that many different personalities. So, you know, things are going to come up and you're going to deal with things, but you just, you know, there are some people that they live in the upstairs, downstairs house, duplex situation. One family upstairs, one downstairs, so the kids are really close to the parents. All four of them get along. I mean, it's not that weird. Maybe you can't live together, you can't be married, but, you know, there's a lot of good qualities in that person. You fell in love with them at one time. You made babies with them at one time. You know, things changed, but, you know, I'm sure you can try and be friends. Now, there are some situations where things get, like, really, really ugly, but, you know, at least you can somewhat, you know, maybe you're not going to live in the same house. Maybe you're not going to get together for barbecues. I mean, we don't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But you can at least be friendly. You can at least be at the same function at your child's school together, and you're not going to, you know, tear each other apart or anything. You can say hi, and, you know, so it does make it a lot easier if you can be that way.
Oh, that's so important. And that was actually something that was brought up as well, is just what do you envision for your family? Do you want to be sneering at each other across a crowded room, you know, at your son's graduation or wedding or whatever?
Yeah, good point. I mean, you're going to be attached
yeah.
for the rest of your life. Do you want to live in that?
That's right. So it's really, how do you want to create your relationship now? And, yeah, for those of you just tuning in, you're listening to Family Matters on CFRU 93.3 FM. I'm your host, Wendy McDonald, and I have Lynn Brunette on the phone here. We're talking about step families and blended families and some of the challenges about that. And this is wonderful. We've been really focusing on what the child needs, what's best for the child, and keeping extended family in the relationships is important because you've got, I mean, well, they're not only important to have from the grandparents' perspective, for instance, or a special aunt or an uncle who happens to be very special in your child's life. It's important for our children to have that continuity in their life. And if that's a special relationship for them, it's important that we keep that up. So finding ways to move through that and make that transition. And of course, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about collaborative divorce, and we talked about how, you know, if you can begin the divorce in a way where you're already starting to problem solve and think about those sorts of things, it makes this step even better. But not everybody's going to do that. Sometimes the divorce is going to be quite sour, and so you're going to end up in a step family where you've got quite a bit of grief that you're bringing from the old relationship into this new relationship. So that's something to work through too. And of course, you know, coaches, therapists can help out with that. Being able to work through and being able to tease apart. And I especially like what you're mentioning, Lynn, about modeling the kind of maturity that we want eventually to have for our children, and that is being able to sit with all of those mixed feelings and perspectives and being able to hear different perspectives, being able to show our children how to do that and being able to show them, that is an incredibly enriching experience for them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, you need to model good behavior for everything else, so why not model good behavior for that? You know, it's so important to try and keep things you know, not the same, because it is going to be different. There's two different households, but you really need to just be open to the things that are going to come, because, you know, you've made these choices for your children. They didn't make them for themselves. So you really have to be open to the problems and the situations that are going to come about, and never use your children in that situation. Never use them against the other parent. And you just have to be open to the challenges that are going to come. And, you know, maybe it's going to be different for the new partner as well, especially if, you know, they came without any children to the relationship. You know, all of a sudden there's children around.
Yes.
And that's going to be different as well. That could bring up some problems. And, you know, it's a very high second divorce rate, especially with children.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to have some expectations. You think, oh, I love this person, so I'm going to love her kids. And, you know, I only see them once in a while. And, you know, suddenly, you know, they're living full time. If, you know, if this situation, because mothers tend to have custody more, you know, all of a sudden they're thrown into a situation. So you just really need to be open that things are going to come along that maybe, you know, if you grew up in a traditional family, you never dealt with that. Things are going to come along, so expect it. And don't think that you're going to have a little fairy tale life. Maybe down the road you will, but you have to expect that there's going to be some changes. And, you know, Still, I mean, when my ex and I split, Logan, it was just before his first birthday, and still things.
And how old? How old is he now? Just to give a perspective,
he's going to be 9.
Okay, so this has been about 8 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
And you know, he still will bring up like, why can't we all live together? And I'll be like, you mean like you and me and Greg and your dad, and, you know, and the others, and he said, yeah, like, you know, kids so want to be with both their parents. It's very difficult. Just think, if you had to, every weekend, if you have to pack up your bag and go stay somewhere else, you know, it's very, very difficult. So we have to be open to that there are going to be things. And, you know, if you can't do it together, then there is somebody that can help facilitate that can help sit down. If there's, a counselor or a coach that can help you get through it, to let you know of things that could come along that you never thought about.
Mm-hmm.
And you really have to be open to it, and you have to, you know, say to your ex, you have to discuss things. Look, I'm going to discuss whatever comes up with you and let them know about every little thing and things that come up at school, and you just have to do it. You have to do what's best for your children. As tough as it may be sometimes, you have to do what's best. Now, you have to do what's best for you sometimes as well. You know, if you have an ex that is constantly combative, that, you know, really holds a grudge or things like that, that can be, you know, you don't have to put up with being abused and yelled at and things like that. You know, in that way, you know, a coach or a third party can be very helpful, but there are things that are going to come up, and basically it's just be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Be prepared and try and communicate. Don't use your children against your ex and things like that.
Okay.
Very important.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about parenting, because you have children, and that's the whole point of being a step family, is that you've got at least one or more children between the two of you that are coming, and now you're going to be living under the same roof, and you've got different lifestyles, parenting styles, kids receive different promises from each parent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what tips do you have for parents going into that situation? What should they keep in mind?
Well, you are going to have different styles. Hopefully, it's not going to be that much different, and hopefully you've kind of talked about it beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you really need to discuss how discipline and things are going to happen. I think that my belief and the way it's worked for me and the way I've seen it work well for children, now I always say for children, it's not what's going to be the best for you. It's what's going to be the best for children. Mm-hmm. Biological parents, I believe, should have the final say. I think that you, as the parent, make the rules, you know, and say you've come from a situation where it was just you and your children living. You've made the rules. Suddenly, you're remarried or you're moved in with your new partner or they've moved in with you. And all of a sudden, they're the ones that are telling them, no, they can't do this, or yes, they can do that, or disciplining them in whatever style. That's very difficult for a child to take because this is not a person that they're bonded with. It's much more difficult, say, if you raise your voice as a biological parent to your children, they will love you unconditionally. It's much more difficult for that step-parent. I think you need to discuss ahead of time, you know, that it's your rules. I mean, it may be modified. You know, when you discuss with your new partner, well, this is my view on this or whatever the situation may be, and how do you feel about that and what are your views? And they may bring something new, whether they have children or not. They, I think, have valid ideas. And you may alter the way you do things, but I think ultimately the rules need to come from the biological parent, and the step-parent's role is to back you up. Mm. Now, there'll be situations where you're not at home, and it's just your new partner and your children, and you make sure that you explain to your child, okay, I'm going out, and, you know, so-and-so is going to do this, or this is the time you need to go to bed, or this is, you know, whatever it is. It needs to be discussed, and both need to know that it's coming from you, and the step-parent will back you up. If they need to give some discipline, it's a rule that you gave, and it makes life so much easier when it comes that way.
Okay, that's a really good point. And what I'm also hearing underneath that, too, is that children will follow people that they have a relationship with.
Exactly.
That is
They're
so
They're not
going
to take it from someone else. No. That's when you get, and that's another thing that will cause a problem in a new family situation, is a step-parent trying to discipline, and they get back talk.
Mm-hmm.
Children really need to trust and bond and connect, have that attachment. They will learn. They will follow someone that they are attached to. And that goes for anybody. So, you know, whether it's a teacher, a parent, a new step-parent, they are not, and that is their form of rebellion is also, you know, I don't like this new person, or I don't like that mom's with someone new, or I don't like that dad's with someone new, so they will react that way. But it's very important that the biological parents set the ground rules and that your new partner back you up on that.
Mm-hmm. And this is really getting into being really sensitive to the social rules of developing relationships, that we don't go in barging in expecting, and we talked about this at the beginning of the show too, that we don't go in barging in and expecting them to attach to us, but really develop the relationships and really take that time to and actually what I would call what you just mentioned about the parents kind of backing each other up is a bit of matchmaking and being able to have some confidence in each other, which is challenging to do. That's challenging to do in a step family, but that is important. It's what's best for the child.
Yeah.
And it can really open up a lot of things for the couples as well. It can challenge the way we think about things. But it sounds like if we're really going to be doing this well, to really accept that challenge, to really see it as problem solving and be stretched and be willing to be open to different perspectives and different ways of doing things. I actually have a quote here by Erica Lutz I found here. She mentioned on her website, aim for detached warmth. It's a sort of a seniority thing. Final decisions are up to the bio parent. She calls it the bio parent. Even with your detachment, you can and do play a powerful and significant role in the child's development. And I think that's something to keep in mind, is that we're here, that you can still decide on what role you want to play. Get to know each other slowly. you are playing a role. You are another parent that can make a positive difference in that child's life. And I like the fact that you one of the early stories you just shared when you were growing up in your family is that there was no talk of stepfather or stepmother in your family. It was everyone was being parented.
Well, I think what made it easy in that situation is my whole family, before I came along, mm-hmm. they lived in Ontario. And I was 3 when we moved out here to BC. And my brother and my sister never saw their dad. He was a terrible, terrible abusive alcoholic. Mm-hmm. Beat my mother and stuff. So when my mom and my dad met and got married and I came along, we moved out here. They never saw them. I know my sister had no interest in ever seeing her dad again, which she didn't. She actually changed her name formally to my dad's last name, to Brunette. But my brother did once in a while. He would call his dad, you know, still showing how strong that attachment can be. No matter what, some will still, you know, seek that connection. And he'd go back to Ontario and see his dad once in a while. So we didn't have that, you know, the kids went to see their dad every second weekend. And they were older. They were like, you know, 11. They're 11 and 12 years older than I am. So, mm-hmm. you know, they were older. And so we didn't, it was like a family constant. Like we were always there. So there was no dealing with that they went away, you know, every weekend or every second weekend, and then I was there alone or anything. So mm-hmm. we were like that traditional family.
Mm, okay.
So that sort of made it a little bit different. But, and you know, not that there's ever anything wrong with saying step. You have to appreciate everyone's differences. And, you know, sometimes we call it blended family and sometimes we call it step family and, I guess it depends on your preference and how you want to look at things. Blended family is sort of, you know, you're mixing everybody up in one pot and you become blended. And, you know, whereas a step family, I sort of equate it to, you know, a jigsaw puzzle or a quilt. We have all these different pieces, but we come together to form something great. But we're also recognizing each person's role in that family and what they contribute. And everybody needs their time to find their spot or their position of how they're going to be part of this whole.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really important to respect everybody's differences and opinions. And, you know, things are going to change. You could have an only child that suddenly goes, you know, into a large family when they go back home or when they go to visit every second weekend and, mm-hmm. you know, or they used to be the baby of the family and then they go into that other home and suddenly they have younger siblings and, you know, their roles change. We stay the same and our children have to play these different roles and have these different expectations and all of a sudden they have, you know, they're sharing and it's very, very difficult. We really need to stand and try and look at from our children's perspective, what they have to go through and the different rules that go back and forth. And, you know, they have to think about yourself. And we always say, you know, don't put on a mask, be yourself. And it becomes very difficult. These are things that our children have to do regularly. They have to, in a sense, put on a different mask when they go to a different place. They're expected to act differently. They're expected to sit differently. They're expected to eat differently, dress differently. It's very, very difficult. And they need time to see where their place is going to be. There's a lot they have to go through.
So, yeah, so each home will be different. And being able to hold the space for being able to accept that it's going to be different will be really important. Our kids are going to come to us with a lot of frustration.
Yes.
And some grief,
mm-hmm.
And I mean, the typical response is, you know, dad said this or mom said that, and just like, ah, I hate it when, you know, so-and-so does this. And being able to hear that and being able to hear the meaning behind all of it, and sometimes we won't be able to change it.
That's right.
Yep, and that's just what it is. So it'll just be a moment for some tears to be able to move through it and adapt, you know, to whatever situation it comes up. Sometimes we can change it. So it's going to be, it's a bit of a balancing act, isn't it, as a parent in that situation, balancing our own needs, and we're going to have some mixed feelings, mixed thoughts, mixed, you know, just everything is going to be kind of mixed, you know, as we're holding space for our needs as well as our kids' needs as well.
Yeah, it is a balancing act. You said it perfectly. It is. And like you said as well, there's some things that you're not going to be able to change. And, you know, your kids will come back to you after their time with the other parent, and they're going to tell you about stuff that went on, and there's stuff, some stuff you're not going to like. And you really have to reserve judgment on that as well. You can't say, oh, well, really, I don't like that. Well, you know, your dad shouldn't have done that. Or you really have to, and sometimes you have to play devil's advocate, because maybe sometimes your child is going to embellish. Sometimes they're going to, you know, they're just frustrated with that parent, so they want to, you know, get them in trouble, so to speak. You really have to sometimes play devil's advocate. You know, I get that sometimes, and, you know, so-and-so did this, and I'll say, well, you know, maybe they were just, you know, joking around, or maybe, you know, you need to sort of do that. And it also will help your child to look at it from a different perspective. You know, they have a limited vocabulary. They're limited that way. And sometimes if you can switch things around and show it to them a different way, maybe it will, you know, sort of make them stop and think.
Okay.
So it's a real valuable learning experience. I mean, as tough as it is, and as much as I wish that every child could grow up in that traditional family that they were born into, that's not the way it is. But we can do what we can to make it as healthy a situation as possible.
Right.
And that is your job as a parent. Doesn't matter, you know, it's not, you're not just parenting in that traditional family. You're parenting for life, and this is something that has come up.
Okay.
And you have to do your best.
And considering that more than half of the North Americans are actually living in some kind of step family or step relationship situation, it's going to come across for sure. So, Lynn, what I'd love to do is just wrap up in the next minute or so, just some key questions or key points. While you do that, Kyle, our next programmer, has arrived, and I'm just going to open up the door for him. He does a show called Kids Time coming up next, so I'm going to let him in. If you can wrap up for our listeners some of the key questions and key points that we mentioned, and then I'll be back in just a moment.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right, take it away.
Okay. I think, like we covered, communication is huge, not only with your ex, but as well with your new partner. Important. Never tell your kids ever that they just need to get over it, that this is the way it is and they just need to accept it. You know, they will at some time. They need to find their place. They need to get used to your new partner. Don't ever, ever force them to love your new partner. It'll backfire on you. So, you know, let them come to your new partner in time. And, you know, perhaps your new partner and your children share a common interest that they don't share with one of their biological parents. And maybe that's where something can be built. So don't ever force them to, you know, hug and kiss and love them and things like that, because it will backfire on you, and it won't be genuine. You know, just as much as they can feel it because you haven't maybe built that bond, they'll feel it as well because you're unsure of how to act. So you need to not force it, but let that bond come naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And a really important thing, as a step-parent, I mean, I'm not on that side of the fence. Don't take anything personally. Understand that this is a change. This is difficult for children. Everybody needs to find their place. So, you know, if your new step children, you know, yell, "I hate you," or "I wish you never came." Don't take anything personally. These are just, these are feelings they're going through, and they need to get them out. And don't take anything personally. There's been some wonderful step-parents. I mean, you know, you get that evil connotation, the evil stepmother, but there have been some great, great, supportive, dedicated step-parents. So don't take anything personally. You need to let time, you know, sort of heal the wounds and move along. And a really important thing is don't trash your other parents, like I said before. You need to watch out how you say things, because even though you may not be saying anything negative, it may not be positive either. Mm-hmm. So you have to really watch that. And you have to really, you need to talk about how you're going to handle discipline. And, you know, you have to be prepared for things like that to be a deal breaker. You have to be prepared that, that you're going to walk away. And I know I certainly was. You know, I had thought, okay, this is, I had laid out my plans and this is how I wanted things to do, and we had discussed how things were going to be and that I was going to be the rule maker, you know, but very much welcomed input from him, but it was going to come from me and that he was going to back me up. And you really need to discuss things like that. It's so, so important, and how you're going to go about doing those things, because they will cause problems down the road. And, you know, children's lives are changed by divorce. I've seen children that do bond with that new person. Mm-hmm. And then you decide you don't want to be with that person. And then this other person that added some value to their lives, that was a great support system, is ripped away from them. They have to go through that again. So it's really important to not bring a whole bunch of new partners through your children's life either in that transition phase.
Oh, thank you so much, Lynn. We're at the top of the hour, and Lynn Brunette has been with us today. My name is, I'm your host, Wendy McDonald, and Lynn Brunette has been helping us talk about step families and blended families. Lynn, what's your website if people want to get a hold of you and talk a little bit more? Because this is what you do. You help parents to work through these sort of things.
Yeah, step family is really close and very important to me. My website is www.horizonslifecoaching.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can contact me through there. You can email me if you just want to ask a question, follow up, because I could go on and on and on about step families and, you know, how to set yourself up successfully. And it could be a long show. So
yeah. And you also do a show on Thursdays called Family Focus.
That's right.
Yeah, so blogtalkradio.com. /Family Focus Coach is how they can also reach you there as well.
That's right. That's every Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Lynn. And honestly, folks that are tuning in, Lynn is truly dedicated. What time is it there in B.C.?
It's now 6 a.m. and I'm debating whether I'm going to go back to bed or not.
Well, I hope you have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It was my pleasure.
Oh, you're welcome. So for those of you tuning in, this has been Family Matters on CFRU 93.3 FM. And just before we head out, I just want to let you know that next Sunday morning, January 31st, we're going to talk about family conferencing with Todd Perot from Community Justice Initiative's Family Group Decision Making is a meeting of extended family, friends, and community members with the purpose of developing a plan that meets the safety and protection needs of children in the family. And I'm excited about that particular one. It sort of wraps up this series of January where we were talking about collaborative divorce. Last week we talked about co-parenting through and after divorce, and this week we talked with Lynn Brunette on step families and blended families. Thank you again, Lynn, for joining us. And this coming week, for those of you interested in doing some exploration of parenthood and building your skills, there's a workshop called Parenthood, Giving When the Well Feels Dry, Generating the Power to Parent, Finding the Vulnerability to Show Love, and Recognizing the Blind Spots with Susan Defoe Abbey. She's a registered marriage and family therapist. She's going to be at St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Guelph this Wednesday, January 27th from 7 to 9 p.m. And you park in the Baker Street lot. Please contact her for advanced registration by emailing her at Susan, S-U-S-A-N, at defoeabbey.com, DAFOE-ABBEY.com, or you can reach her at 519-829-2232. And also, starting this week,